Thank you, Brother Ryan. Again, let's thank the Lord for our mothers. Amen? Absolutely. We hope that encourage you ladies a little bit, and we can never do enough, I promise you. Open your Bibles today, please, to the book of Psalms, Psalm 127, and also Proverbs 31. Psalms 127 and Proverbs 31. Psalms 127 and Proverbs 31. If you found your place in Psalms, please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's holy word. We'll start in verse 1 of Psalm 127. The Bible says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to set up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep." But we're going to press in on verse 3 and following. "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gates." Now, if you found Proverbs 31, flip over there for just a second. Hold your place in Psalms as well. Proverbs 31. And we'll start in verse 26. After imposing the question, who can find a virtuous woman, verse 26 tells us some qualification characteristics of this virtuous woman who is described here in this great chapter. The Bible says in verse 26, "She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We ask your blessings upon the reading of your word. We thank you, Lord, as we have a day now just set aside to honor the moms. And Lord, we ask that that will be done. We pray, God, that you'll pour encouragement into the hearts of those here today. And Lord, just pour encouragement into hearts of all the ladies that are here. And Lord, we love you. We ask your blessings now in Jesus' name. And amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You're here today because a mom chose to give you life. The Lord Jesus Christ and God in his grace and mercy used a man and a woman, a mom and a dad, to give you life. I'm grateful that my mom chose life, amen. I'm grateful that as we've gathered here today for a special day to celebrate our moms, there's much that is in our heart today. I'm also thankful that in the context of being a mom, it doesn't necessarily mean that you had to give birth to the person that you've raised. You know, it's amazing how God in his grace and mercy often allows children like myself when I was younger to be modeled and mentored and really poured in, you know, encouragement poured into by a grandmother, Big Rose. Many of you know my story, and I won't tell you all that today because you know it perhaps, but I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for the ones that stepped into my life and who were godly examples of the women that the Lord has used in my life, from my Aunt Sarah, who was with the Lord last year, she went home to be with the Lord. My grandmother, my mom, my biological mom, I'm grateful for them. And all of them were very instrumental in my life. But when you come to this portion of Scripture, interestingly enough, the Bible speaks here in Psalms about the home, except the Lord build the house. Now, we know in this portion of Scripture, because we see here, that there are a couple ways that the psalmist uses, or a couple thoughts that the psalmist uses to describe what children are. He said, first of all, that children are a heritage. We've already given you a definition of what that simply means. It literally means that children are a gift of Jehovah God, and that's what they are. Amen. They're a gift of Jehovah God. You know, and sadly, and I know sometimes people say it in jest, but I want to just want to say something. I want to speak into this. There are no accidents with God. Amen. Children are not an accident. They may be an unexpected surprise, right? But they're never an accident. They are absolutely the handiwork of a wonderful creator God. And you remember, do you remember, go back in your mind now, do you remember when you found out you were a mom? Do you remember that? I remember my wife and I, we were at Troy Beaumont Hospital. And my in-laws were there. And my wife was going in for surgery. And they, you know, now mind you, we'd been married for just a short time, and so we did the home pregnancy test, and we're like, nah, you know, there's no way you're pregnant, you know what I mean? Just several months into our marriage and all this, so sure enough, we go in, and she's laying on the gurney, and I never will forget it. The nurses come out, they come into into where my wife is before surgery. They come in, all these nurses, and they're smiling from ear to ear. I'm thinking, okay, what's this all about? And they're like, we can't do the surgery. And we're like, why can't you do the surgery? They said, and I quote, we've got a little curve in the situation. I'm like, what's a little curve in the situation? They were like, all of you're pregnant. I about passed out. I'm like, I mean, immediately I thought, how did this happen? You know what I mean? That's what I thought. But I remember walking out into the waiting room, and my in-laws were there, and had the blessing of telling them. They were as surprised as we were, and then we went and ate Italian. So it was a great day, but I remember finding out. You remember when you found out? You remember when you found out and you were told that you were going to be a mom, and, you know, in just 9 months you're going to become a mom. What an amazing, amazing thing. But here's what I also remember. I remember watching my wife as she would go through, going through that 9 months of carrying Ashley, our first child. And it is really something to see, the mom goggles, the humor of the mom goggles. But there's a little truth. There's a little truth in that. I remember driving and my wife when she was pregnant and all the hormonal changes, all the different cravings. My wife, she craved Dorito potato chips. But here's the problem, guys. Let me let you know. Those of you that are new to this, maybe just got married, haven't had children yet. Let me give you a little insight on this. The minute you think you have your wife's cravings figured out, they change, right? Am I telling the truth? They change. So I'm like, I'm going to be a good husband. So my wife's craving Doritos. So I got home from work one day, and I stopped, and I got her two or three bags. So I brought them in, and I threw them at her. No, I'm just kidding. I brought them in, and all of a sudden she looks at me, and she's like, get those things out of here. I'm like, what's wrong with you? I can't always stand the smell of them. I'm like, wonderful. It's more for me, you know. But we'd be riding in the car, and I'd look over at her. Now, ladies, we don't understand this. I'm just telling you, we do not understand this. I'm riding in the car, and I look over, and I'm like, again, first child, right? She's pregnant with her first baby, and I look over, and she's crying. And I'm thinking, oh, she's just realizing how amazing her husband is, and it's taking her emotions. I look over, and I said, and I asked this question. Ladies, I know this is the dumbest question in the world to ask. Dumb question. I can't believe I asked this. I said, why are you crying? Dumb question, right? She looks over and she goes, and I quote, she goes, I don't know. Her emotions, right? And, you know, when you're pregnant, and she was pregnant with our first baby, and then I would watch her as she carried the next two with Cameron and Ashley, or Cameron and Toby, and But watching that, and as a husband, and watching that, and seeing her go through the struggles, and seeing her go through the preterm labor with our first, and, you know, and the hospital visits, and all of that, and, you know, with all of that travail, and all of those things. But man, when Ashley, just using the first as the example of this, I remember when Ashley was born, our lives changed. And my wife changed. Not in a bad way. My wife, now, I watched her as she became, for lack of a better phrase, the mama grizzly bear. And that's a good thing. You know, she, you know, watches over her children and protects her children. And I watch her as she began to pour into my children and love on them unconditionally and the patience, you know, that a mom has. Ladies, what I'm trying to say is this, and I'm going to say this on behalf of the men that are in this room. You all are very special people. Moms are very, very special people. You are a gift of God, really. You're a gift of God. And your children are a gift of God to you, but you are a very special person. You are of infinite value. I mean, to think about how God has entrusted you with such a precious gift to mold, to shape, to teach, to pour into. And to be honest, let's think about some of the hats that you wear. You know, some of the hats that you wear is, I mean, you're a full-time psychologist. You're a lawyer. You're sometimes a police officer, right? You're sometimes, I mean, all the different hats that you wear. I told this jokingly the other day. It was a true story. Of course, we have our three nephew and two nieces, or yeah, whatever they are. Whatever title they live in my home. I don't know. I've got a house full of people. It's what I'm trying to tell you. But my little seven-year-old nephew, the other day, he says, Uncle Tracy, can I go out ride my bike? And I said, Bud, ask Aunt Leslie. And he looked at me and he says, Uncle Tracy, I wish you were the boss. That way I didn't have to ask Aunt Leslie all these questions all the time. And he was dead serious. You know, but I see my wife and I see how women, you know, I see how the moms and they pour into their kids and how they sacrificially give of their time and their efforts and their resources and they are constantly giving. There isn't enough money in the world. I'm telling you. There isn't enough money in the world that can pay you adequately for what you do. You know, we see in this portion of Scripture a couple of thoughts. Now, think of me for a moment. Now, the Lord, you know, we have three. Some of you have more than three. I came across this kind of cute little thing and talking about a pacifier falls on the floor. Maybe you can relate to this. First child, pacifier. Picture a pacifier falling on the floor. First child, mother picks it up, runs to the kitchen, disinfects it by boiling in water for 10 minutes. Then after it cools down for 10 minutes, she gives it back to the child. Second child, pacifier falls to the floor. Mother picks it up, washes it off in hot water, blows on it to cool it down, and gives it back to the child. Third child, pacifier falls to the floor. Mother picks it up, licks it off, and gives it back to the child. And now the story turns. Fourth child, pacifier, hits the floor. The dog picks it up, licks it off. Mother gives it back to the child. Right? Our lives change when we have children. Our lives change when here we are, you know, as parents, and here you are perhaps as a mom. You say, preach, I'll be honest. Some of the hardest thing in life that I have to do is be a mom. Hey, I understand. I can't understand because I'm not a mother, but I can understand from the standpoint I see my wife and I see what she goes through. You're going to find this hard to believe. But kids can drive you crazy. Can I get a witness in the building? Not your precious babies, but sometimes they can. You say, Pastor, over the years, my wife and I, as pastor and pastor's wife, we've seen, you know, young moms, and we've seen the frustrations, and we've seen the times of bewilderment and the times of it seems like you're not making a difference. But I promise you, you are. I promise you, you are. You say, preacher, I just don't know what I'm doing. Listen, you know, I joke about this, that, and there's another writer that said it, but it's true. You know, before you have children, if you're like I was maybe, before you have kids, you have all these theories, right? But you have no children, but you have all these theories. Maybe you have four or five theories. Well, once you get children, you have children, and you have no theories because they're all different. That's another thing we understand about kids. They're all different. You could have kids born from the same womb and the same father, and you look at them and you're like, you're all different. By the way, let me just speak into that for just a minute. Celebrate that. Celebrate, and by the way, that the differences in our children, that really shouts to the creativity of our Creator. Where the Bible tells us, and David shouted, he said, I will praise you, Lord. Why? Because I'm fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. I'm made with distinction. If you could look, and the next time as you look at your babies, please understand that they have the fingerprints of God all over them. They're created by God, and they are absolutely unconditionally loved by God. And we know in the context of Scripture, in the context of this portion of Scripture, the psalmist is writing, and he's shouting and celebrating the fact of the importance of having God in your home. He says that in verse 1, except the Lord build the house. He then transitions in, and he begins to articulate, he begins to express the wonder and the beauty, and we flesh it out even more in Proverbs 31 there, of children. And how kids are gifts of God and how kids are arrows. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. But what a blessing. What a blessing to have children. What a blessing it is to be a parent. What a blessing it is. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not a parent. And, you know, maybe that's the case. And maybe you say, Pastor, I'll be honest. I'm saddened that the Lord never allowed me to have children. And listen, my heart breaks. And I don't want to diminish that by any means, but maybe you're a lady. Maybe you're a lady here today, and you have influence in the life of your nieces and nephews. You have influence in the life of kids. We have women in our church who God has gloriously gifted with talents and abilities to teach our children. Some have never had children, but I watch them as they pour into these children, and the hours that they spend on their lessons, and they spend on decorating their rooms, and all for the simple sake of just loving on these children. I don't know who said it, but it's true that every child needs to have someone, at least one, that is crazy about them. Every child needs to have at least one person who is crazy about them. It's fair to say that you're crazy about your kids, aren't you? I watch my wife. It's so funny because that's the only way I could hopefully articulate a sermon from a Mother's Day perspective. You see, you got to understand a little bit about me. When I try to do it by myself, ooh, that's not good. Bad sermons come when preacher goes off a limb on Mother's Day. We're going to leave that alone. But I watch my wife when it comes to the kids. Man, she's fierce. She's fierce and passionate like her dad when it comes to sports. My mother and father-in-law are here today. And I watch my wife when it comes to the kids. I remember, I think last year or 2 years ago when the boys were playing basketball and me and my father-in-law were going up to Lapeer to watch one of the games, and my wife couldn't make the game, which is unusual. And she sent me a text, and she says, tell Cameron to be aggressive. This is Leslie, this is Joe Mashing coming out in his daughter. She said, Leslie goes, tell Cameron, be aggressive, and tell Toby no stupid passes, right in the text. And I said, I am not telling your kids, I am not telling them that. I'm going to love them. I'm going to encourage them. I'm going to tell them they're the greatest thing since Michael Jordan. You know what I mean? But I watch her. I watch her passion. I watch her as she, with our daughter, and I watch how she, now my wife, she has the patience of Job. She's the one who, you know, guys talk about teaching their children how to drive. Can't do it. I'm telling you, I couldn't do it. So my wife had the pleasure. I told my wife, I said, babe, I don't want to rob you of that precious bonding time with your baby So then God has a sense of humor, and he gives us three more. And I guarantee you she's gonna insist that I do that. But children, I want to give you just a few thoughts, and I promise I will not keep you long. I want you to notice the heart of a mom. The heart of a mom. You know, the Bible tells us as we look in this portion of Scripture and we see even in Proverbs 31 here, you kind of get the sense, the heart of a mother. You know, the Bible says much about the heart. The Bible talks about one in the Old Testament who, we talked about Joash in the last couple of weeks, how Joash had set his affection towards the house of his God. It literally means, he set his heart that way. He set his desire was to the house of God. We see in other scriptures. But in the context of a mother, it's amazing to watch the transition, how that God will, and by the way, and let me just say this. I want to set this at the very beginning of this sermon on this, in this standpoint. It is absolutely innate. It is God-given for a mother to attach to her child. Meaning, that's a God-given design. You know, when children are born, what do they want them to do right away? They want them to cry. We know, and I actually had, we were at the hospital with Stacy and Jeremy, and when she had her, had the baby number 5, Peyton, right? 5? 6, sorry. Baby number 6. 7, actually. 6. 6. I'm arguing with a mother. So here we are, we're Peyton, and I never will forget this. This is so cool. So the pediatrician walks in, and he's talking to me. And we were talking about children. He said, preacher, he goes, what's amazing about children, the way God's designed this, he said, when a baby cries, he said, that does something instinctively into the mind of the mother and the body of the mother for the mom to release milk just from the cry of a baby. Wow, I thought to myself, what an amazing God. You know, moms and how God has designed the moms and the dads. And we see how God, takes the heart of a mother and turns it to the child. I've seen that. I've watched that. I've seen how God does that with my wife and has done that over the years, not just with our children. And now God's given us 3 more children and other kids. And we've got Gerald. I mean, my wife absolutely loves to be around children. You know, God has a sense of humor because several years ago, my wife says to me, she says, our kids are getting older. And she says to me, she goes, Mike, she goes, babe, we ought to consider foster care. Being the very spiritual person that I am, I looked at my wife and I said, have you lost your mind? I did. I was like, have you lost your mind? I said, are you crazy? Well, God has a sense of humor. So here we are. We have essentially 4 more. We have 4 dogs. And I have a church office, praise God, I can come to. But I see and I watch this, the heart of a mom. You know, the Bible teaches in the context of this passage in Proverbs, she's somebody that she has a love for her children. You know what else a mom does? A mom believes in her kids. You know that, right? A mom believes in her children. They say, Pastor, wait a minute. You don't know my story. Growing up, that wasn't the mom that I had. All right, I understand. But in the context of Scripture, what does God want? What does God expect? We see in Proverbs, let's just kind of walk through this just for a moment. Now we know, we do believe, scholars think that Proverbs 31 is written to Solomon by his mom. And Solomon, of course, is describing this virtuous woman. And when you look in the Word of God and you see in the context of children, children are never pictured as anything less than a precious gift, a priceless treasure from God's heart and hands to family. Now we know, yes, we do understand, and I would do it justice to under. And we know we understand that we're all sinners before God. We know that, grandparents, I'm sorry to tell you, that Even grandbabies are sinners that needs Jesus. Not your grandbabies, but everybody else's grandbabies. Your grandbabies are not sinners. But no, we know that all children are born with a sinful nature. Let me illustrate it. We did not have to teach our children how to sin. They get that from my father-in-law. No, they get that. They just get that. It comes in them. It's their nature to do that. We joke, and my wife and I, we've joked over the years when the kids would do something, and you know, whether I would catch them do something, I would look at Leslie, and Les might say something like that, well, she must get that from your side, or I'll say, she must get that from your side. But no, you do not have to teach children how to sin. That's in them. That's their nature to do that. And that's why it's so important as a parent to pour the truth of God's word in them, to let them know that, yes, indeed, they have a sinful nature, but most importantly, there's a Savior that 2,000 years ago died on the cross to take care of that sinful nature, to take care of that sin, to take care of their condition of being lost without Jesus on their way to a devil's hell unless they trust Christ. When you look in this portion of Scripture in Proverbs 31, the writer is writing here in verse 10. He said, who can find a virtuous woman for a price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. And he goes on and on and on and on in describing the relationship of the husband and wife. The Bible goes on. You skip on down now to verse 24. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. And she shall rejoice. Don't miss the phrase. In time to come. You know, one thing about being a mother is your reward. Isn't instantaneous. You say, Pastor, I sometimes feel, preacher, that what I'm doing doesn't matter. Preacher, I sometimes feel that I just give and give and give and give and give. Well, the Bible tells us, don't miss this verse that we just read. Look at it. She shall rejoice in time to come. You know, in the context of raising children, it's not an easy thing. It also has been said in the context of raising children, God gives us good things, but He gives them with a purpose. All He has given us should be used for His glory. It has been said that when God sees a wrong that needs to be righted in this world, or a truth that needs to be preached, or a benefit that needs to be discovered or invented, He sends a baby into the world to do it. The Lord Jesus, if you have been blessed with children, you have been given a great responsibility. You've been given a great privilege, yes, but you've been also given a great responsibility. From the earlier verses in Psalms, the Bible described children as a gift, and it also described them as a gift and a reward, and also described as arrows. You think of a gift, what a precious gift they are. But you think of arrows. I love to hunt, and I love it. I'm passionate about it. I enjoy it. Never really was passionate about bow hunting, but got into it a little bit more. Tom Samuel, who's a tremendous bow hunter, knows everything there is I know, knows 1,000 times more than I. So when I really got serious about it, I got with Tom, and he found me a bow on Craigslist, got me a Matthews bow, and man, I love that thing. And would go out to his house, and he and Kathy's house, and he would teach me how to shoot the bow. And I remember looking back on that. It's been quite a few years now, and looking back on that, and he would tell me, he said, okay, preacher, you hold here, and here's the thing about shooting an arrow. You see a bow, you use a bow, and you put the arrow, and you knock it, and you pull it back, and you anchor it, and all this kind of stuff, and you got all this kind of stuff on. But if you think about it from the standpoint of what the psalmist is telling us about children, how that children are arrows. So I really thought through this text, and I was thinking back when Tom was teaching me how to shoot my bow, and to shoot it effectively, and to shoot it correctly. And one of the things that I'll never forget, and Tom, I know you remember, is Tom used to tell me, he said, now, preacher, when you're holding, he said, you don't want to hold too tight. He said, because if you hold too tight, he said, you're going to have a natural instinct to, you know, go one way or the other. Your grip's going to be so tight, and it's going to cause the arrow to not hit the target like it's intended. So the Proverbs, the psalmist tells us that children are arrows. Now they're arrows. If you think about an arrow, what do we want to do with arrows? We don't want to keep arrows in our quiver. They do us no good, right? The goal of an arrow is to one day release it into a heart of a 6x6 elk bull in Colorado. Or a 200 score buck deer. No, the goal is to release it. Think of me for a moment. That's with children. And love, trust me, I know we want to keep them forever, right? I tell my kids, I said, and I'm starting to change on this because they're getting older. I used to joke, I'm starting to change on this. I always said the goal as a parent is to get your kids out of the basement. Yeah. The Bible tells us in the context of this portion, we see her heart. We see her home. You see, her home is a very special place. What is your home like? You say, preacher, our home is crazy. Preacher, our home is pretty chaotic. Well, let me encourage you today to set some goals for your home. Set some goals. You know, have the goal of allowing your home to be a safe haven. Allowing your home to be a refueling station. When our children were small, and they used to argue and fight and all that, and we finally set them down. Like, guys, here's the deal. What goes on out in the world, we get beat up out in the world, but when we come home, this needs to be our safe place. This needs to be the place where we were loved unconditionally. This needs to be a place where we're encouraged. This needs to be a place where the people around us, get this, press in and hear this, the people around us believe in us and love us and support us and they nurture us. A home. What does a home need to be? It needs to be a safe place. Sadly, and it's true, we know it's true. One writer said the American home is becoming one of the most traumatic places for some children in the world. Some of the traumatic effects, some of the PTSDs, some of the emotional disorders that are caused from traumatic home lives. Your home needs to be a safe place. The mother has a lot to do with that. Our children are to be directed by God, directed to God. A safe home. It needs to be a home where there's security there. Children need to know their needs are going to be met. They need to feel safe at home, safe physically, safe emotionally. They're going to take enough abuse in the world today. When Wyatt and Emily and Trey came in our home for the first time, back October 24th, 2017, we set them down. And this is what we said to them. Guys, all you have to be is children. That's it. Just be kids. Don't have to worry about where you're going to get your next meal. You don't have to worry about, you know, if you're going to have a place to stay. You don't have to worry about. We just want you to be kids. Our home should be a place that is secure. A home should be a place where it's secure physically. They're secure emotionally. The Bible tells us, as we read in Proverbs, in the context of her home, she looketh well to the ways of her household. Home should not be a place of fear. Home should be a place of peace. Home should be a place of refuge. Every child deserves to know unconditional love. They do. Every child needs to understand that. You say, preacher, what do you mean? You always use that phrase, unconditional love. Let me flesh it out just a minute. Just a couple more minutes. Please just stay with me. Children need to know that your love for them is not based on their performance. You see, when children are in traumatic homes and children are in abusive homes and children are in homes where there's constant fighting and there's constant turmoil, we know emotionally that that can affect a lot as far as to a children's psyche. We know that if children are in environments like that, that they can live at a heightened state of anxiety, and that then can create, adrenal fatigue. I mean, so many different things that can happen to the body of a child. But in the context of a child, children need to be made aware of that you love them no matter what. No matter what. You say, preacher. No, love. Let's go back. Love, by basic definition, love is a choice. You hear people talk about, I fell out of love. No, you did not. There's no such thing of falling out of. You chose not to. That's what that means. That's what you're saying. In the context of love, you know, in the context of homes, our homes shouldn't be a place where kids hear things like, you're stupid, you're dumb, you'll never amount to anything. Another thing to avoid. Avoid the comparison thing, the danger of comparison. Why can't you be just like your... Don't do that. Celebrate their uniqueness. Celebrate what God has gifted them with, and it makes your family better because of. What a tremendous blessing. Mom has a tremendous opportunity. Every child deserves to know unconditional love. Our children need to know they are loved regardless of their performance. Our children need to know they are loved regardless of their abilities. This world will always size them up on how they look, how they dress, their popularity, their athleticism, or any other number of things they will reject them or accept them based on. Children need to understand what true love and acceptance is, and they need to experience that at home. It's okay. It's okay. You're loved. Child needs to learn the value of others. Show your children the importance of serving others. Show your children the importance of loving people and giving sacrificially and stepping into other people's pain and encouraging them. You see, if you know Jesus as your Savior, and I'm not going to have you raise your hand today, but by basic knowing majority of people in this room, by your own lips, you've made testimony that and professed that you know Christ as your Savior. Now, with that said, the assumption that I make as your preacher is that our assumption is then that we want to raise our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that we want to raise our children in a Christian home, a Christian environment, with the goal that they'll marry and raise our grandbabies in a Christian home, Christian environment with godly, with godly, plan and instruction in their life. It's true. Parenting is more caught than taught. You know that, right? It's more caught than taught. Back to Proverbs, and we'll conclude with this. We talked about her heart. Talked about her home. What's her hope? Her hope. Verse 28 says, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also. And he praiseth her. That's another sermon, guys. Your wife needs your affection. Your wife needs your words of affirmation. Your wife needs, when our kids were little, especially when our kids were little, I'd come home when I was a drywaller. I was bivocational, of course, and I'd come home after working drywall all day and I'd walk in the door, and my wife had been with those babies all day. But what was most important was she needed that connection to me. So we would put the kids a little video on and let them go watch TV for 30 minutes or an hour, and we would just try to sit and talk. And fellas, here's you do know this. A lot of times, it's not about the nail. If you've ever seen that video, look it up. It's called "It's Not About the Nail." Women don't want us to fix things. They just want us to listen. Just want us to You know, and I'm bad about that because when my wife comes to me, and again, when my wife, honestly, and this makes no sense, maybe ladies, but when my wife comes to me and she has a problem, I want to fix that problem. And it's like, okay, let me give you these three steps. We'll do an invitation at the end of it, and this will be fixed. She doesn't want me to fix it. She just wants me to connect and wants me to listen. Let me give you, this may be worth its weight in gold. Let me speak into our marriages just for a minute. You hear that it's this. Communication, communication, communication. I heard a teacher do a breakout session one time, and I'm telling you, ever since I've heard this, I've never forgotten it because I think he's on something that may be a little different, but it's worth pressing in and listening to. Often, when our marriages begin to, you know, kind of pull away. His premise was this. He said it's really not a communication issue as much as it is a connection issue. Now, let me illustrate with that. You remember when you were dating?
Yeah.
Bubba, you remember when you were dating? Right? I guarantee she does. You remember when you were dating? You didn't have a communication issue, did you? Why? Because there was connection. Whether you were going to the mall, whether you were going playing basketball, last night you used to go play basketball or whatever it is, there was connection. So the communication was okay. When you get married, especially when you start having children, we know statistically, pregnancy, we know statistically, start having babies, it can become a stressor. You're going to find this hard to believe, that having kids and raising children can be a stressor on your marriage. Can you believe that? Stay connected. Date. Go on dates. Three D's, lesson I live by. Dialogue daily. Talk every day. Communicate every single day. Make a connection. Dialogue daily. Date weekly, without exception. Depart semi-annually. Get away a couple times a year. Just you and her for the day. I can never leave the babies. You better. Drop them off at the in-laws. They'll watch them. They love those babies. I don't have money to do that. You can't afford not to invest in your marriage. That's another sermon. Let's land this plane. What's her hope? Verse 29. Many daughters have done virtuously. Literally just saying that they've gotten riches. But thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. What's her hope? What's the hope of a mom who is trying to raise her children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? What's her hope of a mom, today's Mother's Day? What's the hope of a mom who say, preacher, I'm doing everything that I can. I'm trying, and I want my kids to love Jesus. And sometimes, and I said this already, our churches, I'm telling you, our churches would be a mess today if it weren't for, I'm telling you, our churches would be a mess. We'd be even more trouble. You say, preacher, sometimes I just, maybe the moms that are here today, sometimes, preacher, I just feel like I'm doing it alone. Sometimes, pastor, I just feel like I'm pouring into my kids and pouring into my kids and pouring into my kids and teaching them the value of the Word of God and trying to instill godly wisdom in them, trying to instill godly things in them. And I don't see that it's working. Well, you got to understand something. With God's Word, when he says, you know, train up a child in the way he should go, when he's old, he won't depart from it. Now, there's a plan and there's a promise in there. The plan is we got to train him up in God's Word. Train him up the way God teaches us and tells us. Now, for those that are here today, say, pastor, I just feel that what I do as a mom doesn't matter. On the contrary, what you do does matter. He Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church is grateful for you. Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church is grateful for your sacrifice and your dedication. We watch as these moms come in. As a pastor, it's pretty cool. It's really kind of comical sometimes. You know, you get to see the whole dynamic. You see the couple when they're dating. You see them and they're bubbly and they're smiling and they're laughing and everything's, you know, everything's perfect in place. And, you know, and you see them go through their their engagement, you know, thing. And then you see them go through their wedding. You take them through their premarital counseling. And you know, their plan is, you know, yeah, we'll have babies 3 to 5 years from now and blah, 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 blah. And then you try to encourage them, well, just, you know, less budget on one income. You never know what happened. And then they get pregnant. You know, they call you months later, preacher, you ain't gonna believe it, we're pregnant, expect our first baby. And then you watch as they transition into parents, and you watch as their world gets more chaotic. Sometimes they come in sliding sideways into the church parking lot 1 minute before the bell rings, if they're lucky. And they're grabbing diaper bags, and they're grabbing this child, and they leave this child, and the fourth child barely gets to church. I'm just telling you, so the fourth child gets forgotten a lot. But so, Pastor, just get tired. I know you do. I promise you, what you do matters, and it will be worth it. It will be worth it. I used to drive my grandmother crazy. When I was little, I used to drive my mom crazy. But I'm grateful. Investment they made in my life. You say, Pastor, I don't have a good relationship with my mom. What do I do? Well, we're preaching on forgiveness, and that's another sermon, but you have an opportunity. If you're a mom, you have an opportunity to change the cycle. You have an opportunity to pour love into your children. You have an opportunity to pour perhaps what you didn't have when you were raised. You have an opportunity to show children what it means to have a home of unconditional love. What's your hope? The hope of a mom, in the context of what we're talking about, would be to one day see your children trust Christ as their Savior, for them to repent and believe the gospel to the saving of their soul. Hope would be to see them grow up and love Jesus and grow up and love their spouses and love their Lord, love their children. It's more caught than taught, church. It's more caught than taught. Her heart loves her kids. Her home, it's a place of security. It's a place of safety. It's a place of unconditional love. It's a place where you can make mistakes and still be loved and encouraged. It's a place where you don't have to be perfect. It's a place where anybody that walks in is welcome. It's a place where being mistreated is not going to be tolerated. Being mean is not going to be tolerated. What's our hope? That one day, when that mama stands before the Lord Jesus, as the Lord evaluates her life, wouldn't it be something to see how God then rewards her for her service, and for her sacrifice, and for her selfless acts of love and kindness to her children, to her church, to her family? I don't know where you're at today. Happy Mother's Day. But for those that are here, so Preacher, Mother's Day is a tough day. Well, today, maybe it's a day just to say thank you. Maybe it's a day to say thank you to those that, ladies who are part of your life that didn't give birth to you. But just because they didn't give birth to you doesn't mean that they weren't important, they weren't valuable in your life. Where you at? Guys, when's the last time you just said thank you to your wife? When's the last time you ever said, hey, babe, thank you for what you do? When's the last time you just took her out on a date and just encouraged her and loved on her with no ulterior motive? When's the last time? I'm not good about that. Well, we need to get better at it. They deserve it. I've been left alone with my children before. I started to say babysit. You don't say babysit when they're your children. Wives, a punch in the face if they hear you say babysit the kids. My kids have been covered in peanut butter. My kids have been covered in Crisco grease. They've been covered in everything when Leslie has left me alone with those precious children. When she's gotten back, I wanted to kiss her feet and say, thank the Lord Jesus. Today is a day. You can tell him thank you. Let's all stand, please, for him invitation. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus, encourage your friend to trust Christ before it's eternally too late. Maybe you're here today, say, preacher, Mother's Days, Father's Days, special days are always tough. And yes, they can be. But it's also a day where it can be an opportunity for you to maybe encourage someone that you know might be struggling today. Church family, you may know someone that's struggling because today is Mother's Day. Maybe God could use you to encourage them. Maybe God could use you to say, hey, thank you for being a motherly figure in my life. Thank you for being an example of what it means to love unconditionally. Maybe that's what you'd like to do. Maybe you'd like to come to the altar and just pray. Would you do that? If the Lord's touched your heart, you need to respond. What's the number, bud?
454.
454. You come as we sing.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me, still I will.
Appreciate your good attention today. How many we have today, guys? How many, bud? 203. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Back over the 200 mark. Thank you for those and the family members that came today in support of the dedication of the babies today. And you pray for these couples, and that the Lord will continue to just bless their home. And excited to see what God is doing here at Emmanuel, and some more exciting news that is going to be coming in the next little bit, and you'll hear more about that, and just some blessings that God is doing. Ryan, you have any other announcements?
Yep, we sure do. Junior camp, parents, junior camp is July 23rd through the 28th this year. There is a sign-up sheet at the Welcome Center. We also need a $50 deposit by Sunday, May 20th. This is for the kids going to camp 3rd to 6th grade. If you have any questions, see Jen Hall for that. And then also, I know today is the last day to buy tickets for the Mother's Day conference next Saturday. And then I do have a quick thank you note from the Bellingers. It says, thank you to my church family for showing my family and I such love and kindness during my recovery from surgery. Thank you for your prayers and for everyone that provided gift cards for the restaurants. It was so wonderful to have those and not to have to cook dinner while I was recovering. We love you and appreciate you all. Love the Bellingers. And then one last thing, Brad, if you could make sure I put the flowers in the back, if you could have the take those on the bus, and then the bus kids can hand them out there, and they can take them home to their moms, and that'll be great.
Awesome. And coming during invitation today is Tom and Kathy's granddaughter, Michaelin, is that how I said it? Michaela. Okay, sorry. I thought it was Michaela. But she trusted Christ as her Savior just a few weeks ago. Talked to my wife after church one day, and she's coming today to ask to be baptized. So we'd love to baptize her. And need a motion second. Grandpa, need a motion. Brother Grandpa. Brother Grandpa makes a motion. Brother Bill makes second. All in favor of making known by uplifting hand. Any opposed by like sign. So Tom was the motion and Bill was the second, Jen. And we're going to come by and give her the right of fellowship. Don't forget, no services this evening. So enjoy the day with your family and enjoy the day with your mom and love on her and encourage her. And fellas, love on them today. Encourage them. Be thankful for them. And Lord bless you for that. Lord, you might even get a kiss out of the deal if you do that. All right. And not for me, Brother Ryan, to give you a kiss if you'll tell your wife. So come on up here, guys. We want to give Michaela the right hand of fellowship. Come by and welcome her and encourage her. She's a beautiful little girl. Come on over, guys. Preacher doesn't, Mike. Come on over here, Maureen. As we're dismissed, where's Mike Dunlop? Is he still back there? Mike Dunlop? See? All right. Dismiss us in prayer, bud.